It's the next gear on podtech.net. My name is Matt Kelly. I'm joined today by Brian Nesbitt. He's executive director of GME Design. Brian, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
First of all, tell me what your title is and what you do for General Motors.
Well, I mostly work on the visual identities and design executions for Saab products and Opel Vauxhall Saturn products.
Okay, and as we are talking about Saab, the Saab Aero, beautiful car. It
looks so sweet.
Let's talk about that. What was your role in the design of that
car? Well, it was, we were looking for really a canvas to explore new visual cues that we believe the customers we're targeting for Saab would appreciate and really identify with. Mm-hmm. These customers we're targeting are more upper liberals, and they have a particular aesthetic standard in all the things really they purchase. And so we really tried to use this vehicle as a canvas to explore what identity cues would communicate some of the history of Saab, like in the upper of the vehicle and the gesture, some of the graphics, the wraparound windshield, some of the aerospace heritage of the brand, back all the way to the 9-0. So we've got a very exciting kind of fantasy futuristic canopy that opens up like an aircraft. Mm. So a little bit of a fantasy exercise there. The wheels themselves are turbine designed and inspired, and they also improve draft into the caliper. The front end graphics, we've got a lot of kind of signature cues that we're interested in looking at. And we use these vehicles like this concept car as kind of a test well, kind of test the water, see how we're doing. We've got a new portfolio that we're generating for Saab, and it's a number of vehicles, and we're looking at what are the cues that we can wear across the entire family portrait, and what cues are specific for each particular segment.
So as we take a look at the Saab Aero, what are you expecting to take from that car to bring into your new portfolio? Is there anything going to transfer?
There will be some things that you will recognize, and I don't want to be specific to kind of give away what's going to happen with those new vehicles, but there's certainly you'll recognize a lot of those cues. Mm-hmm. And there's some things we're interested in to visually communicate the aerospace heritage. There's things to communicate, like in the lenses, the colors of the lenses. There's a great industry in Sweden in glass and camera manufacturing. And that heritage and those kind of technical aspects can create actual jewelry in the material expression. And we're bringing that into the vehicle. So there's this kind of ice block aesthetic to the headlamps, to the tail lamps, when you sit inside the vehicle, to the interior cluster. And we tried to show different ways that we might look at executing that that maybe you'd see in production.
It's really funny when I look at these concept cars. I mean, I just, they all across the spectrum, they get me so excited, and yet the concept cars rarely come into production. You know, like you say, you take cues and then you put them into production.
Right, right.
Why is that? I mean, you get the public so excited about this really cool design, and then, you know, don't take it personally, but I feel like we're screwed, you know?
Well, there's different cars that we execute as concept cars that have different objectives. For the Saab Aero X, it was a fantasy, really communicating a couple of different levels of messaging. One, for the designers, it was a way for us to explore different cues, and we need to do that exploration regardless. Mm. The other is we want to communicate as General Motors that we really believe in Saab, and we think it's a fantastic brand. We've got some customers that really believe it's a great brand, and we believe that it can grow into a larger kind of expanse of a portfolio. So we wanted to communicate a little bit about commitment and also that the brand has some equity, and we believe in the equity, and we believe it can go a lot further, and we believe that customers like these types of upper liberals, they can hopefully identify with it.
When we talk about a concept car, how long does it take from the idea to go to the drawing board to go to actually sitting on an auto show floor?
Not too long. We've got a 58-week process to build a car. So from the time we start sketching it to then building models, to then sending it and finding a vendor to build the car, or maybe we build it in-house, we do both. But it's a 58-week process, so within a year. So it becomes, from a designer's kind of a creative experience, it's a very satisfying project because the results come very, very quickly. You can see very quickly what you've done, and then it gets exposed, and the designers really, you know, designers, it's more about the ownership and getting the respect of their peers more than anything else. So that's kind of the exciting, it can be very satisfying that way. Production cars take, of course, 4 to years, so it becomes, you're working on many other projects before that production car ever gets exposed.
And when we take a look at a concept car, how many versions did we go through before we got what we have on the showroom floor today?
Yeah, sometimes it's tough. I mean, we were exploring for a while, which we mostly do in sketch form and 2D illustration form. We have guys sketching on Cintiq computers with Alias software. It's a great hardware and software system that has tremendous sensitivity. And you can basically duplicate any of the old skills that you used to use analog-wise. It's really a wonderful, wonderful tool. We try to ideate as much as possible there so that by the time we get into a full-size model, we're not using tons of resources to, you know, redesign the car in full-size. So you want to know where you're going. This was a lot of exploration, but at the same time, I kind of... There were some things that I wanted to communicate within these cues and express, so we directed it that way. Other cars, as concept cars, may be even more specific, really alluding to a particular body style that we might want to consider for the portfolio, or a particular proportion we might want to consider for a portfolio. It's this door system, it's this many rows of seats, or something like that, or this kind of roof system.
And you kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier about what it's like to be a designer in terms of you build it and to seek recognition among your peers. Talk to me a little bit about being a designer and the elite group, in a sense, that you're a part of.
It's interesting, you know, when you're a designer, you're putting your sketch up every day. This is what I did, your name's on it. And so you're in a very vulnerable type of presentation mode almost all the time. You're exposing yourself constantly
to criticism
mm-hmm. cross-functionally. And so it does create a different conditioning for the designer. And you're always kind of feeling that vulnerable state. And so when you get that validation from your peers, that really is what means the most to many people.
Great. And your final thoughts on the concept, the Saab Aero?
I'm just delighted. It was a wonderful exercise. It has some real objectives that we tried to meet. And the real validation is when other people like it, and that's always very, very heartening.
Great. Brian Nesbitt, Executive Director of GME Design, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
For The Next Gear, I'm Matt Kelly on podtech.net.